We're continuing with a thought that we began this morning against standing against the wiles of the devil, standing in the evil day. I want to share just a couple of thoughts with you tonight. I'll not be long before you. I appreciate you all that are being faithful to choir practice, and the choir certainly is just a blessing. It's a blessing to the church, a blessing to the folks that get to come and hear. And it's just growing, and I thank God for that, the knowledge of the singing, and I appreciate y'all fellowshipping together, laughing together, working together. It's a blessing to pastor to see that going on. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I won't read all of the verses tonight, but just a few verses tonight, and then I want to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture this evening. We're not going to look at them thoroughly, but I do want to look at them tonight and just to give you a thought about standing against the wiles of the devil. How many has ever heard somebody say something like this? He's slick. How many has ever heard somebody? Well, let me tell you something about the devil. He's slick. And it'd do you well when you look over and see somebody else that's having trouble in their home. It'd do you well to never think things like this. That would never happen in my home, or that would never happen with my children. I'm telling you, the devil's slick. Amen. I wonder how many of God's people are not in the house of God tonight because the devil's slick. Amen. He come along and he snookered them. Amen. The wiles, it talks about a trick or a strategy. It's practiced to ensnare or to deceive. And I do thank God. I'm not perfect. But one problem I've never had in my life, is looking down my nose and thinking I'm better than somebody else. I'm not proud of my background, but if that's what it took to keep me from thinking that I'm better than somebody else, I'm glad I had it. I'm glad for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, amen, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to walk soberly and live for God in these last days, amen. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God. This is verse 11 of Ephesians 6, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we talked about leaning into that wind this morning in a hurricane. And I've actually experienced some of the most destructive winds are what they call straight line winds. And beloved, if you want to walk straight for God, I promise you there'll be times in your life when, like Paul said in Acts chapter 27, the winds were contrary. They're going just right in your face, right against you, trying to keep you from going forward for the Lord. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Boy, this world dark, isn't it? And a lot of them are operating under the influence of the prince and the power of the air, old Slowfoot himself, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, have you noticed of late that everybody wants to be a sanctuary city until folks coming across the border start using the sanctuary? Everybody wants to be a sanctuary state until folks coming in illegal start using that state for a sanctuary. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how common sense kicks in. And all of a sudden you realize this is going to cost money. Well, they should have realized that a long time ago. Amen. I mean, you know, if you have two kids, it costs so much to feed them. If you got four, it costs that much more. If one of them's a boy, you better multiply that one more time. Amen. I think they have hollow legs, don't they, Rick? Amen. Especially when they're tall. You got to pour it in both legs. Amen. But tonight, The Bible said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the help that you've given us along the way. Lord, truly in my heart tonight, I know I wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for your grace, if it weren't for your mercy, if it weren't for your long-suffering, if it weren't for your patience. Lord, I just pray tonight that we'd never forget where you found us. Never forget, Lord, what you've done for us. And may it encourage us, our Father, to understand and realize when we see someone else in trouble, to remember you want to do the same thing for them. Lord, I think of that dear man we talked to last week. God, I'd love to see him saved. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'd see us, let us see some fruit for our labor. Help us, our Father, as a church, to be faithful. Lord, both across the sea and across the street, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our people that are hurting and suffering tonight. God, we pray, visit with them tonight. Draw near to them tonight, our Father. And help us, our Father, to be a church full of compassion. Lord, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Little springboard tonight. God put it on my heart sitting on the front bench. Turn with me to the book of Ruth, please. And then we're going to the book of Judges. The book of Ruth and then the book of Judges. The wiles of the devil, standing against the wiles of the devil. I want to just give you a little thought tonight. This will probably be maybe more appropriate on a Sunday morning, but I'll just say it, a Sunday night it'll work as well. The Bible said it came to pass in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Ruth, in the days when the judges ruled. Now you remember this, if you go in the last part of the book of Judges there, the Bible said in verse 25 of the last chapter of Judges 21, in Judges 21, 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, if we're not there, I don't know where we are, amen. Secular humanism says you're your own God. Do your own thing. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we're all going to answer to a God, beloved, that loves us, that gave himself for us. We're going to answer to him one day. Now that's the time. Now it came to pass in the days, you come into the book of Ruth, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, or Kilion, or Kilion. I've heard it said different ways. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. I just want to share a couple of things right here. Then we're going to go look at Samson tonight in Judges chapter 16. We're talking about the wiles, the trick, the strategy to ensnare or to deceive. And here's a man by the name of Elimelech that takes his family to Moab. There was a famine in the land. You say, well, Pastor, where were they leaving? They were leaving Bethel. They were leaving the place that was the house of God, the house of bread, so to speak. And one thing that God's put in my heart tonight is just tell you right here to be careful. I don't care where you go to church. Listen to me carefully. I don't care where you go to church. Bible way, it doesn't matter. If it even a sound Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. Beloved, there will be some dry spells in the land. Listen, it's not all mountaintops, amen. It's not all hanging from the chandeliers and all rejoicing. There's a balance, beloved. And the Bible said here that this man, I want to show you something that I hope you'll take note of tonight. This man, Elimelech, I want you to underline in verse number 1, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. I want you to underline the word sojourn. We're just going for a little while. You know, I've seen this, beloved. Listen, I'm not fussing tonight, but I've seen people start missing Sunday night. I've seen people start missing Wednesday night. And I've seen people then start missing maybe one Sunday a month. And then I've seen, beloved, for long, listen, they're out there in Moab. You say, Pastor, what's going on? I'm telling you, the devil is slick. He's tricking. He's deceiving. He's saying there's bread over yonder. Amen. Can I tell you this? Beloved, everything that looks like bread's not bread. Amen. And the Bible is teaching us something here. I want you to see this. I promise you that if we could interview Elimelech tonight, he'd say, Pastor, I had no intention of my family dying in Moab. I had no intention of dying in Moab. We were just going to go down there for a little while. Amen. What I'm trying to get you to see tonight is the deceitfulness of Satan and see how that he's led this family astray. So they went to sojourn, and his wife and his two sons. Now I want you to look in verse 2, and I want you to underline this. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And he go on down to Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab. And what's those last two words? They continued there. So they went just for a little while. That was the intent. And beloved, I don't believe anybody ever just jumps up one day and says, you know what, I'm going to get out of church. I'm going to quit reading my Bible. You know what, I'm going to quit praying. You know what, I'm going to quit sharing my testimony and witnessing to others. I'm just going to drop it all. I don't think it happens like that. The devil's too slick for that, amen. But what he'll do is he'll try to get you just to take a little time out. And the first thing you know, time has gotten away from you and you're continuing in that path, amen. I've heard people say this, I don't know it. Thank God I don't know it. I'm not judging people that do know it. But I've heard people say, boy, if you ever get out, it's hard to get back in. I've heard them say that. I'm telling you what I've heard, amen. I just thank God I've been saved since 1987, and I'm not boasting, but I've never wanted to get out yet, amen. I like it too much in to get out, amen. The house of God, the family of God, the fellowship of God's people. You say, well, you're the pastor. You have to be that way. Brother Dale will tell you, he was there 10 years at Oak Glen when I was a missionary. I was that way when I wasn't the pastor, amen. I wanted to be in the house of God with God's people. And so there's that thought. They continued there. Now go on with me just a moment. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. There's a lot going on in this text that they're not supposed to do. You understand that, don't you? Moab is God's washpot. Moab, beloved, was under the judgment of God because Moab wouldn't allow the Israelites to pass through when they needed to go through. And so here, they're in a place they're not supposed to be. Marrying women they're not supposed to marry, amen. Staying longer than they ought to be a staying. Watch what the Bible said. Remember sojourn. Remember, continued there. Notice how slick the devil is. And the Bible said here, they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there, look at this, about 10 years. I'm thinking of a couple right now that's missed about that long in the house of God, awful close to it. You say, Pastor,
What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it breaks my heart. I know they didn't plan on it. Amen? But I'm just telling you tonight, God is trying to tell us to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, some of the best services I've ever been in my life, Brother Chris, is when I didn't feel like going. I didn't feel like putting one foot in front of another, and I got up and said, it's the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And I got there, and God just blessed my socks off. I believe that's one of the reasons God blesses prayer meeting the way He does. He knows we're wore out. He knows we're tired. He knows it's the middle of the week. Amen. God looks down and smiles on His people and blesses them in that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Beloved friend, tonight we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. He wants to get your children out. He wants to get my children out, my grandchildren out. And He wants to get us out of the work of God. Amen. Turn with me back to Judges chapter 16 for just a moment. I want to give you just a little bit of something right here. I know that this is probably a familiar text. Do you remember this morning, and it's true of Elimelech, self-centered becomes sin-centered, becomes death-centered. We just read it in those four verses right there. I wonder if Elimelech didn't have some friends back in Bethel. I promise you he did. He had people that stayed in Bethel that rode out the famine, say amen, and lived, stayed where they would, stayed by the stuff, amen. And so he was self-centered. I'm going to go where there's some bread. And then it becomes sin-centered. His sons are taken up with Moabitish women. Now, if you want to see the grace of God, God overrules in the book of Ruth, doesn't He? Amen. And takes over and blesses. Amen. Thank God that He does. But look at this in the book of Judges. The Bible said in verse 25 of chapter 13, bear with me a moment. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath, the daughters of the Philistines. I want you to see something. And he came up and told his mother and his father and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for, what's the next word? Samson's living a me life. Get her for me to wife. Let's read on. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all of my people that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? Beloved, I believe we ought to pray for our youngins that they would marry somebody, amen, that loves the same God they love, the same Bible they love. Amen. The same truth, the same Jesus that they love. Amen. Because here's Samson. He's going down to the Philistines to get a bride. And the Bible said, and Samson said unto his father, get her for, what's that next word? It's the me life. It's the me life again, beloved. It's that self-centered life. Watch this. And for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now I want you to see how slick the devil is. Amen. It starts out with the me life. And listen to me. The Bible said his father and his mother didn't know that God sought out an occasion. I don't believe Samson knew either. Amen. All Samson knew is, I like what I see. And I want what I see, and I want it now. Amen. But God, in His mercy, was looking for an occasion against the Philistines. I had to read that to you because it's going to fit with something else that I'm going to read in a moment. And the Bible said in verse 14 of chapter 15, and when you'll have to read all of the story to get all of this about the riddle, to get how he killed a thousand Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. I'm telling you, Samson was a mighty man of valor. Amen. And he had the power of God on him. And the Bible said here in verse 14, and when Samson came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hand. It'd be like tying a grown man with a piece of thread. He just broke it off, amen. He takes the jawbone of the ass and he whoops 1,000 Philistines because God was with him and God was on him. The Bible said in verse 20, he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. I'm trying to show you tonight how the devil is involved in this trickery and this strategy to ensnare and to deceive. Then went Samson to Gaza, verse 1 of chapter 16, and saw there a harlot. Nowhere in the Word of God are you going to find that the Bible said God was in this. Amen? See, it started back there with the me life. God sought out a case, and God's going to use something, amen, against the Philistines. But that's not the case here. He goes down to a harlot, and he went into her, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come thither. And they compassed him in, and they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we'll kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that's before Hebron. I want you to see, beloved, this man's got the power of God on his life. Amen. God has given him great strength in spite of him. I want you to understand that tonight. I believe there are times in our life as believers that God doesn't bless us because of us, but in spite of us. He helps us, amen, along the way. Now watch what the Bible said. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, I'm not going to change the Bible, but I do believe, beloved, listen, I believe there's a difference between love and lust. I believe that's one of the reasons marriages end up the way they do sometimes, amen. She's pretty. Let me tell you something right now. She'll get old too. Amen. Let me tell you something. Her face will wrinkle too. Amen. There better be some love involved and there better be God involved. Amen. But notice what the Bible said here. He loved the woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, entice him. You can look through this scripture, beloved. And here's a man that had the mighty power of God on him. But here comes the devil. And he's not standing against the wiles of the devil now. Amen. He's somewhere where he's done been in that whorehouse down there. Excuse my French, but that's where he'd been with a harlot. And now, beloved, he's in here looking after Delilah. And Delilah is going to try for what? For money. For a little bit of money, a little bit of silver, beloved, she's going to try to find wherein his great strength lieth. I'm telling you, the devil's slick, amen. And listen, I believe tonight with all of my heart, if you could talk to Samson, he'd say, how stupid can a grown man be to lay down in the lap of a woman like that and go to sleep and reveal the secret of God's power in my life? Beloved, he starts off in the top of the hill that's before Hebron in verse number 3. Do you know where he ends up? Grinding at the mill. He's looking at these women and he likes what he sees. In the end, he's not looking at anything because his eyes are gouged out. That old devil, he didn't stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he's grinding in the prison house with his eyes gouged out. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, you say, poor old Samson, I'm gonna tell you something right now. Let me tell you right now. Listen, I just thought about David. If it can happen to a man after God's own heart, if it can happen to a man as strong as Samson, it can happen to any man. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that we're living in a wicked time. Amen. There was a time, beloved, in America when you didn't have to worry about a woman being the aggressor, but that day's gone. Here she is. He's down there. He's playing games with her. He's playing games. He said in verse number 7, if they bind me with 7 green withs that have never been dried, I'll be weak and be as another man. They were lying in wait. When they come to get him, the Bible said in verse number 9, the toe is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. And then he said in verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes and never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. The liars in wait came, and he broke the ropes just like they weren't even there. I'm telling you, the devil's slick, beloved. He's playing with fire. You know what happens when you play with fire? You get burnt. Amen. I believe Proverbs tells us that. Amen. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? And so tonight, you go on down, and the Bible said here, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherein thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weave the 7 locks of my head with the web. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. But he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and of the web, with the web. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, I want you to notice this, when she pressed him, what's the next word? Daily, with her words. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Gary, the devil don't give up easy. Even when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness of the devil, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible said then the devil leaveth him. Does anybody know the next 3 words? For a season. You know what that meant? He's not done. He'll be back. Amen. He's coming back again. She pressed him daily with her words, and she urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all of his heart, said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. The strategy to ensnare, to deceive. I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. This is some of the saddest scripture I've ever read in my life. She began to afflict him. I don't know what she was doing. I don't know if she was poking him with something, but she was afflicting him. I don't know if she was cutting him with something. I don't know what she was doing to him. Watch this. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and this is what he said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Beloved, it didn't work that way, did it? He said, I'm going to go do the same thing I've always been doing in the same power I've always been doing it. But watch this. The Bible said, and this is sad, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. When we read a text like that, you need to remember where you're reading it. Beloved, in the Old Testament economy, the Spirit of God would come upon a man and empower a man. And many times, like with Saul, like here with Samson, depart from that man. Beloved, we're not in that economy today. If a man ever has the Holy Ghost abiding in him, he abides forever today. Amen. But watch what the Bible said. I will say this. Though we have the Holy Ghost abiding in us, and he has sealed us to the day of redemption, it's one thing to have the Holy Ghost in you, and another thing to have the Holy Ghost on you. And I believe, beloved, sin and the trickery of the devil has cost many men the privilege of having the Holy Ghost on their life. Though he lived in them, he was a resident in their life, but he was not the president in their life. Watch this now. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Let me just give you the rest of the story. I didn't mean to be this long tonight, but let me say this to you. Beloved, it looks to me like that anybody with a little bit of common sense would have kept an eye on his hair. If cutting it off caused him to be weak, I sure wouldn't want it to be growing back. Amen. But the hair began to grow on Samson's head. And the Bible said they made sport of him. They're mocking him. By the way, beloved, our country's being mocked. In many places, the church is being mocked today. Amen. But I want you to see something. They made sport of him, and they had a big gathering, the Word of God tells us here. And you come on up, and I think it's verse number 26 here. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. You know what this reminds me of? Brother Larry, old Slewfoot thinks he's got us. Even in the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, he'll go through the four quarters of the earth and gather up an army and come one more time against the Lord Jesus and the saints of God. And he thinks, buddy, I've got them now. And I tell you, he don't have us. We're in the Father's hand tonight, amen. Watch this tonight. We're talking about the trickery and the deceit. The house was full of men and women. And all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, and he said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." God let me years ago, Brother Chris, make a comparison. Stephen preached one message, full of the Holy Ghost, and he died with his eyes on Jesus, praying that God would forgive his enemies. Samson died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemies. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get to pick, I want to go out like Stephen. I believe Stephen went out, Brother Michael, like Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. Jesus didn't. You remember the disciples said, "Wilt thou we pray fire down from heaven?" Jesus said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." But I tell you, Samson, beloved, is there. He's got a hold of the pillars. And I need to say something right here in case you've not heard me say it. I've said it personally to different ones. But I heard this all of my life, Brother Junior. If an individual commits suicide, there's no way they can go to heaven. How many's ever heard something like that? Well, let me ask you, what's going on in this text? God gave Samson the power to push those two pillars out. And God and Samson knew that it was going to cave in on him. You say, well, how do you know Samson went to heaven? Read Hebrews 11. You don't get in that chapter, say amen. Samson, he got messed up. So did Solomon. But they went to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you this, I'd much rather go to heaven with a testimony like Stephen than a testimony like Samson. And the word of God said here, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house which the house stood, on which it was borne up, one in his right hand, the other his left hand. I don't know what these things are made out of. I don't know if they're marble. I don't know what they're made out of, but let me say this. If they're holding up 3,000 people, they're made out of something pretty substantial. Amen. We're not talking about 2-4 before sticking up in the air. Amen. And those pillars. And Samson, he said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might. And the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshcol in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Simply denied, Samson, self-centered, became sin-centered, became death-centered. We need to remember that tonight. Self-centered, you know, I don't know. There's certain sins that we just really frown on as God's people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, we should. But there's certain ones that are overlooked. Pride. Self-centeredness. I think about rebellion. Most of the time somebody's got a teenager and they say, well, they're just a teenager and they're going to rebel. And mom and dad's tickled to death as long as they're not on drugs or they're not drunk, you know what I mean, all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you that rebellion's as a sin of witchcraft, the Word of God said. And beloved, there's a lot of things that we tolerate that we really ought to stop and ask God to help us with, amen. Because the enemy, we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm just glad you come tonight.